Welcome back to the Moral Foundations podcast. I am your host, Reverend Jeremy Walker, and we are on Lesson 2 of the Book of Judges. We're going to be covering Judges 1, 16 through 36. We have three different sections we're going to be covering today in our section. The first section is concerning the purge that continues in the Book of Judges, where the Israelites, of course, are driving out the inhabitants of the land. The second section we're going to deal with are the spies and the man of Bethel. And lastly, the tributaries that are made in the text as well. We're going to go ahead and begin this lesson two. We're going to be covering important doctrines as the parent or the teacher you should think about. We're also going to be covering questions you can ask your students or your children, and also for yourselves for reading comprehension and retention. We're going to go ahead and begin then with a reading of this passage, Judges 1, 16 through 36. And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of Palms with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt with the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Also Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but he could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he had showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword. But they let go the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites, and built a city, and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwell among them, and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor of Akzib, nor of Helba, nor of Apaik, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwell among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Bethshemesh, nor the inhabitants of Bethanath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Bethshemesh and Bethanath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come into the valley. But the Ammonites would dwell in the Mount of Heres, in Ajalon, and in Shaalbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akarabim, from the rock and upward. Okay, that's the reading of this section. We're going over Judges 1, 16 through 36. And as I said in the previous lesson of the Book of Judges, our first one we did, the names here are quite difficult. I do my best to muddle through them. And as a teacher and parent, you have to do your best as well. You can't be too concerned about getting everything right or messing up. You just have to get to the point, and hopefully you got everything right and the pronunciation's correct. If for some reason I've gotten pronunciations incorrect here, understand that I am not a linguistic professor and neither are most teachers who are going to be covering this type of content. But do your best with it, and don't be afraid to move forward. Basically, we're going to move on here to lots of different stuff. We're going to be covering the doctrines that we're talking about here. We're going to be covering some questions and answers that we're going to be covering here for different variety of things, much like reading comprehension and that kind of stuff. If you're familiar with the Moral Foundations podcast, you know how this is going to go. So let's go ahead and jump into it, of course. Most of this is three different sections. The first section is how the purge continues, but is then incomplete. One of the very interesting aspects here that I've had people run into as we're discussing this, and I mentioned it before, is verse 19, as you've read through this already, says, "And the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but he could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron." Now, as the parent and or the teacher that is going to be teaching this to your children or your students, you're going to be coming up with some questions every now and then. And here it is, the people of God, and they're trying to drive these people out. They have a calling to drive them out. But here in verse 19, seemingly, and I use the word seemingly because that's an important point here, it says they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. And I have heard people who were non-Christians utilize the term chariots of iron as somehow a rebellion against God. Somehow God is not able to empower people to do what he's called them to do. And because of technological advancements, God was overcome. And they love this idea, chariots of iron, the rebellion against God, man defeats God. Well, the problem with this is very simple. This is called cherry picking. Now, it's not necessarily cherry picking because of the fact that it's not in the verses, and that is what it says. The point is how to properly read it and understand it. Now, you have to understand who you're dealing with, the creator of the known universe. Now, we've already gone through, this is the book of Judges now. We've already gone through the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and now we're in Judges. So you have to take all the books ahead of this to get a context for this verse. God is giving the Israelites a calling. They're coming in here, but they can't do it. Is there some reason why they can't succeed because of chariots of iron? Well, first of all, you have to go to the next chapter, which we're going to get there here in our study of Judges. We're going to get to the next chapter, chapter 2, and you're going to find out why it is that they cannot succeed. The problem with people is they don't take the Bible, they don't take it in context, they don't systematically read it, they take cherry-picking verses, they quote mine, as I like to call it, and they use verses like this and take them out of context and say, look, God can't do something, chariots of iron, because these people had technological advancements, they thwarted the will of God and the people of God. That's not what took place. Once again, you already had the flood, worldwide flood in the book of Genesis. You've already had the Exodus. If you have Exodus here, the very first book of Exodus, you had the end of Genesis, the very beginning of Exodus, where Moses comes into play. And the superpower of the world, Egypt, is brought to its knees through all the plagues that came through. And I won't go through it now, but you can go through Exodus and read it for yourself. All the plagues and absolutely destroyed Egypt. All the wonderful, terrible miracles that took place, including pillars of fire and pillars of smoke. You know, frogs, and you got hailstones, and you got darkness, and you got parting the Red Sea. You have the water dropping down on top of the Egyptian army, which was a terrible force. All the wheels were knocked off the chariots before they even got halfway through the Red Sea. God completely knocked off the chariot wheels and then drops the water on top of them. You have the entire book of Joshua, which goes into, of course, the story of Jericho, where the walls come tumbling down, story after story after story after story, showing God's absolute and utter power and sovereignty. Yet somehow people are going to say, because of some chariots of iron, that God is thwarted and his people are thwarted because of chariots of iron. Not the case at all. Now, when we get to chapter 2, we're going to see why, here in chapter 1, the people could not succeed. Now, the Bible doesn't always have everything linear, and this is why you have to systematically read. You know, it's not like a storybook from the beginning to end. Some things are told in context, some things are told generally. Kind of go back to the idea of Genesis. If you read the first chapter of Genesis, it talks about the creation of man. But if you go to the second chapter of Genesis, it then talks about the creation of man and then woman. And so it's not exactly linear. It's not exactly like you start at the first chapter and you read to the end. It's not how that works. And so as the parent and as the teacher, you have to understand this. And this kind of concept here, why is it that people failed? If you're going to explain this to your children and your students, you have to understand this concept, which is kind of why I took some time out of it to explain. In a minute, in chapter 2, we're going to find out that the people did not obey God. And they then did not have God's support. In fact, God says in chapter 2, which we'll get to in our next couple lessons, that God was not going to drive the people out because he was going to test the people. In other words, he was going to help them to succeed to a certain extent, and then he was going to leave the people in the land. So even though the people had the power of God behind them, they themselves did not drive the people out. They did not obey God, and therefore God was not going to help them. He was not going to help them succeed because they weren't actually doing what he said. Now that gets us into what we're talking about here, where, as we found out, we have the spies. We're going to get to the spies in a second, where they go into Bethel and they take the city. And the man of Bethel who helped them, the spies found, they allowed the man to leave, and he then and his family were saved and created a city of Luz. And the last part was all the tributaries. This is where the Israelites came in. They were supposed to drive out and destroy all the inhabitants of the land. But they had a better idea. Their idea was to come in, win, so they're now a superpower, but they weren't going to destroy and or drive them out. Instead, they said, we're going to allow you to live here with us, but what we're going to do is you're going to have to pay us money. We're going to put you under taxes. We're now going to be your rulers. This was not the plan. God did not send the Israelites into Canaan to become the rulers of all the people. The people were under judgment. And so this posed a very big problem when the Israelites decided not to listen. And that's why you're going to see in chapter 2, when we get to it in the next couple lessons, that God says, I am not going to help you. Hence, we jump back here to this chapter 1 part, and this is what's going on. As I said, the Bible is not always linear. You have to read into it. In just a minute, when we get to chapter 2, we'll see a little bit more of that. But that is what's going on here. The people are able to succeed and drive out people to the extent that God is letting them. Now that they are not listening, now that they're not obeying, they're not keeping the promises that they said they would do, and therefore God is also not going to do the things that he said he was going to do, which was to empower them. So in other words, God does not empower people who are not going to obey him. So let's go ahead, and I think that was I kind of took a little bit of time on that one, but for the Bible, you have to, as the parent or the teacher, you have to understand that concept. Systematic teaching in the Bible itself is not always linear. People say, well, there's contradictions here and contradictions there. The contradictions are the fact that you aren't reading properly, you aren't understanding properly, and the biggest problem is you don't want to understand, and that's why you're not understanding. And on top of that, God has not opened your eyes up to see the truth. Now, this is also a tidbit which is also very important for the parent and the teacher. People have to have faith, and that faith is given to them by God to believe, to hear, and to understand. Many times in the New Testament, God says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Now, that's a very important aspect. People sometimes think that if you just preach, everybody has this opportunity. No, they don't. If God has not given them ears to hear, then they cannot hear. They're deaf people. They're spiritually dead. So as the parent and as the teacher, you have to keep this in mind, that you're going to be preaching, hopefully, and teaching consistently and faithfully, but you're not there as producing hearers. There are those who can and those who cannot hear. But the people that I'm talking about that have used this verse here, chariots of iron, as somehow God was thwarted and God's not all-powerful, like I said before, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua all came before the book of Judges. And when we teach systematically, some guys running around with chariots of iron are not a problem. The Egyptians, the Egyptian military, the entire Egyptian military was taken out by God himself without the assistance of the Israelites. There was no battle. There was no fighting. The Egyptian superpower force was coming after Moses and the Israelites as they fled Egypt. And God simply raised the Red Sea, tore off their wheels, and then drowned every single person who was coming after them. Not to mention all the other things that happened in the book of Joshua, where the sun literally stood still in the sky so the battle could continue. Hailstones rained from the sky and killed far more people than Joshua did or the Israelites did in their battles with the five kings. But like I said, I just put this out as context because I think this is important. And as the parent and the teacher, this stuff comes up. You just have to know systematic teaching is what you do. You take parts of the Bible to help you understand other parts of the Bible. And like I said, this aspect here, why is it the people did not have the power to overcome them? It wasn't because God was faulty. It was because the people were faulty. The people were deficient. It was not God's power or ability that was deficient. It was the inability and deficiency in the people that was the problem. In chapter 2, we're going to see that. But I think it's important you as the parent or the teacher, pay attention to this concept. You will hear people say this kind of stuff. And if you're a teacher or a parent, you want to be able to have an answer for it. So I'm sorry if I took too much time, but that was an important aspect. Getting to the important doctrines that are being covered in these aspects here, let's go through a couple quickly. Important doctrine number one, men that side with God and his people prosper, and so do their families. The men in Bethel, the spies, saw a man coming out of Bethel, as we did our reading. He helped them learn the entrance. They came and took the city, and then he was allowed to leave, and so was his family. He prospered. This happened other times as well. We found out in the story of Rahab in the book of Joshua, Rahab did the exact same thing. They sided with God's people, helped them, and because they did so, they prospered. Now, this is something important because as you talk to your students and your children, society, men and society itself prosper as they side with God, his people, and his commandments. So this means that not only do Christians prosper by keeping God's commandments, but the culture does as well. Nations prosper or don't prosper based on their obedience to God. Number two doctrine we're going to go through is men are prone to follow their own wills and desires rather than God's. And that's what happened with all the Israelites here as they went into the nation of Canaan here. Instead of wiping them out, driving them out, utterly destroying them as they were supposed to do, as instruments of God's judgment against the Canaanites, they decided to go only part way. They had a better idea. Why drive people out and why destroy them when they can help you and prosper you? They can give you money. So they had a better idea than God. And because of that, and we're going to learn about the entire book of Judges, it does not go well for them. Number three, men delight in making others serve them. This is something we're seeing with the concept of tributaries. And instead of obeying God, instead of listening to God, men like that idea of being in charge. They like the idea of other people listening to them. They like to lord it over them. You see this in children. You see this in places of work. You see people sometimes who are the bosses who are terrible bosses. And so instead of helping and promoting other people, they lord it over other people. You specifically see this in the world of politics. But the concept that men delight in having others serve them is a concept that is inherent in mankind. And you should go over this because the Christian should not. Their job and idea is to serve others. In the case of the Israelites, they weren't supposed to make tributaries. They were instruments of judgment and should have done their job. Number four, man can only succeed in their efforts by the will of God. And we've touched on that quite a bit here because without God, you can do nothing. That's a very popular Bible verse, but it's also very true. You cannot succeed except by the will and permission of God. And the same thing happens in the book of Job. In the book of Job, you had Satan who was going around trying to see who he could destroy. And God says, "Have you not considered my servant Job?" And Job says, well, your hand of protection is on him, and I can't even touch him. So in other words, God protects people. He helps people. He allows them to succeed. He keeps them safe. And he also allows them to be defeated and allows them to lose. And the whole book of Judges is going to be about this concept, about men not being able to succeed unless God is with them. We're going to see this quite a bit with all the judges. We'll get to that in a minute. And of course, if they are against God, God will be against them. And since we have here where they could not defeat the people with iron chariots and etc. The last doctrine, God does what he wants in heaven and on earth, and none can stay his hand. And we kind of covered that extensively already, so I don't want to cover it again. But the entire Bible discusses that in length. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and we're going to be covering this entire thing in particular. Also the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon, most powerful nation on the planet. They actually become the instruments of judgment against the Israelites later on. And so it goes both ways. It's not just the Israelites who are God's instruments of justice and judgment, but God also uses other people like the non-Christian Babylonians. They became the instruments of judgment against the Israelites for their disobedience later. But as King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, it talks about that concept that God does what he wants in heaven and on earth. And you can read that for yourself. Moving on for some questions and some answers. These are going to be pretty quick. As I said, these are questions of comprehension mostly. Start with question number one. Who destroyed the Canaanites in the city of Hormah? And the answer is Judah and Simeon did. Question number two. What did the people of the valley have that helped them defeat Judah and Simeon? And the answer, of course, according to the text, was chariots of fire. Now, these questions are mostly about very plain text, what's being said in there. They're not always going to be about all the background descriptions and things we were talking about. So these questions of comprehension are sometimes just to help you remember the story, remember the text itself, and your students, that's very good for them or your children. Question number three, how many sons of Anak did Caleb expel from Hebron? And the answer was three, if you were listening to the text, at least if you've read it. Number four, who did the children of Benjamin not drive out of Jerusalem? And that was the Jebusites. Now, the Benjaminites, they're going to get in a lot of trouble later in the book of Judges, at the very end, actually. We're going to find out a lot of problems that the Benjamites did because God said to expel them and not to make any treaties with them, not to make any agreements with these people, and certainly not to intermarry with them. Give your sons to them, give your daughters to them, because they will help you and make you move away from God. And that's exactly what happened to the Benjamites. But the Jebusites became people who lived with them. Question number five, where did the children of Benjamin live with the Jebusites? And the answer, of course, is in Jerusalem. Number six, what did the spies do to the man that helped them learn the way into the city of Bethel? And the answer, of course, is they let him and his whole family go. And the man actually prospered, and he actually built himself a city. But that's what happened to him. Question number seven, what did the different tribes of Israel make the people of Canaan that they did not drive out? So what did they turn them into, basically? And of course, the answer was they turned them into tributaries, or they made them pay taxes. Number eight, which house made the Amorites tributaries? And this was towards the end. And the answer, of course, is the house of Joseph. These are all just basic questions and answers. Now, hopefully, if you're reading these types of things and you're reading for yourself as the parent or the teacher, you're going to want to put all this stuff in common language and all the rest. Now, the beginning, of course, was the purge where it was incomplete. The next was the spies of Bethel, and it closed up with all the tributaries and all the big names and all the things we went through and things like that. So don't be afraid, as I said, to read this through the stuff yourself. And it's a good idea if you have your children or students to read the text as I did. Also, don't be afraid to read ahead and then to tell the story in common language as well. You don't have to use all the big words as I did. In fact, if you use all these big words and big names, you're going to lose all your students' and children's attention. So you probably don't want to do that whenever you're teaching younger children, the ones that can't sit there and listen to you reading all the hard-to-pronounce names. In fact, adults find it very difficult and boring themselves because they don't look at the Bible as something that's going to educate them. They view it as something that's supposed to entertain them. But it's not meant for your entertainment. It's meant for your education, for your edification, and so for your students and your children as well. But try to remember, you don't have to remember every single doctrine. These doctrines come naturally as you read them and as you think about them. Things about how people prosper if they are on God's side, or if they're not on God's side, they don't. Things, of course, how mankind is prone to doing what he wants, not what God wants. How, of course, men like to lord over other people. This can be in your children and students' families, their own brothers and sisters, their friends, their students in the classroom. And they're going to be, instead of wanting to help people, they're going to want to make other people do things. So this is a common thing you can discuss with your students and your children as well. And then, of course, man can only succeed with the help of God. And instead of being with you, God will work against you. And the Bible is full of that as well, where God, instead of becoming your friend and ally, will then turn and become your enemy and work against you. And this is what happens to the entire book of Judges. And it's a very important thing to tell people. Now, as a side note, because we're going to wrap this up, and this has been lesson 2 of our study in the book of Judges. If you have any questions about any of the lessons we have here, anything that pops into your head, find us on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at Moral Foundations Podcast, and you can send us a private message there and shoot us a question. We began answering some questions from listeners already. If you have a question about any of the lessons or just a generic question that you'd like to ask of any sorts, we'd be glad to answer those on our Facebook there as well. Our website page has changed as well, and that is ChristianReconstruction101.com/moral foundations. And you can also just go to ChristianReconstruction101.com and find us right there on the homepage. But should you have any questions and you would like to shoot us some, like us to answer any of those, find us on Facebook at Facebook and Moral Foundations Podcast. But thank you for joining us again for the second lesson in the book of Judges. Hopefully this has given you something to think about. And of course, as you are formulating your own studies, your own teaching of these types of things, hopefully this will give you something to put together with that, to put your thoughts together for that. And always remember, for your students and for your children, keep everything on their level. All your questions, all your answers, the content, make sure that it is age appropriate. And you're going to be a great teacher if you do that, if you keep all these concepts in mind. But remember, the most important concept is this: teach the Bible as it is described in the Bible itself. Don't leave things out. Make sure you portray God as he is portrayed in the Bible, and make sure that you describe the things that God did, that God said, that God commanded, as they are described in the Bible as well. And you will be a very good Bible teacher. So thank you for joining us again. We're going to sign off for now, and God bless.